Pentagon awards Raytheon $22.9 billion to build Tomahawk arsenal 17 times faster. The U.S. Department of Defense just placed its largest single munitions contract in modern history, awarding RTX unit Raytheon $22.9 billion to scale Tomahawk cruise missile production from 60 units annually to over 1,000 by 2033. The 7-year deal represents more than a procurement order. It marks a fundamental shift in Pentagon contracting strategy, moving from just-in-time acquisition to industrial capacity building at a scale not seen since Cold War-era production ramps. The contract, announced August 17, 2026, formalizes a framework agreement first signed in February between the Navy and Raytheon. Acting Secretary of the Navy Hung Cao stated on X that the deal ensures our warfighters continue to have the lethal firepower they need, framing the contract as a direct response to depleted U.S. inventories following arms transfers to allies and munitions expenditure in the Iran conflict. The magnitude of the commitment, $3.3 billion annually over the contract term, dedicated solely to expanding production infrastructure for a single weapons platform. Raytheon confirmed the contract would enable the 17-fold production increase through capital investments in new manufacturing facilities and equipment. The Tomahawk, a sea-launched cruise missile deployed from both surface vessels and submarines, provides long-range precision strike capability against land targets and has been a mainstay of U.S. naval operations for 4 decades. This contract arrives as the Trump administration pursues multi-year, large-scale agreements with prime defense contractors, explicitly designed to provide the capital certainty necessary for billion-dollar facility investments. Earlier in August 2026, the Pentagon signed separate deals to accelerate production of Patriot and THAAD interceptor missile components, though specific dollar values for those contracts were not disclosed. The Tomahawk deal stands apart in its sheer scale and the transparency of its production targets. Industrial base recapitalization at Defense Department scale, the $22.9 billion figure warrants context. At current Tomahawk unit costs, estimated between $1.5 million and $2 million per missile depending on variant, the contract implies delivery of approximately 11,000 to 15,000 missiles over the 7-year period, assuming roughly 40% of the contract value flows to production capacity build-out rather than unit production. The math reveals the Pentagon's true purchase, not just missiles, but a standing industrial capability to produce missiles at surge rates indefinitely. Raytheon's current production rate of 60 Tomahawks annually reflects peacetime procurement levels optimized for cost efficiency, not wartime consumption rates. The Iran conflict and ongoing support to allied nations expose the brittleness of this model. The proposed rate of over 1,000 missiles per year positions the U.S. to sustain extended peer conflict consumption while simultaneously rebuilding stockpiles. For comparison, during Operation Desert Storm in 1991, the U.S. launched 288 Tomahawks over 43 days. Modern multi-domain operations against near-peer adversaries would consume munitions at multiples of that rate. The contract structure itself signals a doctrinal shift. By committing $22.9 billion over 7 years, the Pentagon provides Raytheon the financial certainty to make irreversible capital investments, new production lines, specialized tooling, supplier agreements, and workforce hiring. This mirrors World War II-era contracting, where the government funded private sector capacity expansion directly. The model fell out of favor during the post-Cold War drawdown, when variable-rate contracts and just-in-time supply chains dominated. That era is over. Cross-sector capital deployment pattern emerges. The Raytheon Tomahawk deal does not exist in isolation. It reflects a broader capital deployment pattern visible across defense-adjacent manufacturing sectors in 2026. Cambrex Corporation, a contract development and manufacturing organization serving the pharmaceutical industry, broke ground in August 2026 on a $30 million research and development facility at its Milan, Italy site, with completion targeted for the second half of 2027. Cambrex also acquired adjacent land to support future expansion. While pharmaceutical CDMO operations differ materially from defense manufacturing, the underlying investment thesis aligns. Clients demand surge capacity, resilience, and geographic diversification in critical supply chains, driving long-term capital commitments to physical infrastructure. The Cambrex facility, focused on small molecule pharmaceutical development, represents a $30 million bet on persistent demand for complex manufacturing services. Scale that investment by a factor of 760, and you approximate the Raytheon Tomahawk contract. Both deals share a common premise. The era of lean, offshore, just-in-time supply chains for critical goods has ended. Resilience and domestic capacity command a premium, and both public and private sector buyers are willing to pay it. L3Harris Technologies, another major defense prime, experienced abrupt leadership change on August 17, 2026, the same day the Tomahawk contract was announced. The company's board promoted Sam Mehta to CEO following the departure of Chris Kubasik after a code of conduct investigation. Mehta previously served as president of L3Harris Space and Mission Systems segment. The timing coincides with L3Harris, planned spin-off of its Missile Solutions segment following a $1 billion Defense Department investment, originally targeted for the second half of 2026. Leadership instability at a major missile manufacturer underscores the operational and governance pressures facing defense primes as the Pentagon accelerates procurement timelines and expands contract values. Margin compression risk in fixed price, multi-year deals the Raytheon contract structure carries embedded risk. While terms were not fully disclosed, the announcement characterized it as a firm commitment over 7 years. If structured as a fixed-price incentive contract, common for large production buys, Raytheon absorbs cost overruns on facility construction and production ramp. Defense industrial capacity buildouts historically run over budget and behind schedule. Raytheon must hire and train thousands of workers, secure supplier commitments for propulsion systems and guidance electronics, and navigate permitting and environmental reviews for new facilities, all while meeting annual delivery milestones. Key risk: if production ramp falters or cost overruns materialize, a $22.9 billion contract could erode margins instead of enhancing them. Raytheon's ability to execute a 17-fold production increase within 7 years will determine whether this contract generates strong returns or becomes a cautionary tale in defense industrial policy. Labor availability presents a binding constraint. Tomahawk production requires specialized aerospace manufacturing skills, precision machining, and security clearances. U.S. aerospace sector unemployment stands near historic lows, and Raytheon will compete with Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, and other primes also ramping production under new Pentagon contracts. Wage inflation in defense manufacturing will compress margins unless Raytheon negotiates price escalation clauses, which the contract details did not disclose. What institutional capital should watch for private equity and institutional investors? The Raytheon contract offers three key signals. First, the U.S. government has reopened its checkbook for defense industrial base recapitalization at a scale not seen in 30 years. This benefits not only primes like RTX, but also the supplier base, precision component manufacturers, specialty materials producers, and electronic subcontractors. Identifying second and third-tier suppliers in Tomahawk production chains presents an immediate sourcing opportunity. Second, the contract validates long-cycle, capital-intensive manufacturing as an investable theme. The 2010s favored asset-light business models and software-driven margins. the 2020s are rewarding companies that build physical things, especially when those things matter to national security. Cambrex's $30 million facility investment in pharmaceutical CDMO capacity, though vastly smaller in absolute terms, reflects the same underlying dynamic. Critical manufacturing commands a premium, and clients pay for resilience and surge capacity. Third, the deal structure implies the Pentagon will tolerate, and perhaps subsidize, higher per-unit costs in exchange for domestic production capacity and supply chain security. This shifts the competitive landscape. Low-cost foreign suppliers lose access, and domestic manufacturers gain pricing power. For industrial companies with U.S.-based production footprints, this represents margin expansion potential if they can secure long-term government contracts or position themselves as critical suppliers to primes. The L3Harris leadership change adds a cautionary note. As defense contractors scale rapidly under government pressure, governance and operational execution risks rise. Chris Kubasik's departure following a code of conduct investigation, with no disclosed financial or operational irregularities, suggests boards are enforcing stricter standards amid heightened public and congressional scrutiny of defense spending. Institutional investors in defense primes must price governance risk alongside execution risk. The Plaquemium view the Tomahawk contract represents the Pentagon's clearest admission, yet that U.S. defense industrial capacity atrophied to dangerous levels during the post-Cold War period. A 17-fold production increase requirement is not a marginal adjustment, it is a crisis response. The fact that Raytheon currently produces just 60 Tomahawks annually, a weapons system in continuous use since the 1980s, reveals how deeply just-in-time procurement hollowed out the industrial base. Our thesis: this contract opens a multi-year cycle of defense industrial capacity investment that will reshape capital allocation across the manufacturing sector. The $22.9 billion Tomahawk deal is not an outlier, it is the template. Expect similar large-scale, multi-year contracts for JASSM, LRASM, SM-6, and other munitions where current production rates cannot sustain peer conflict. The Pentagon has learned that buying missiles 1 year at a time leaves the U.S. vulnerable. Buying production capacity, even at a premium, solves the problem. The second-order effect: domestic manufacturing capacity becomes a strategic asset, not just a cost center. Companies with U.S.-based production, secure supply chains, and the ability to scale rapidly will command valuation premiums. We see this pattern emerging in pharmaceutical manufacturing with Cambrex's facility expansion, and it will accelerate in aerospace, electronics, and specialty materials. The era of offshoring critical production has ended. The era of paying a premium for domestic resilience has begun. The risk case hinges on execution. Raytheon must deliver a 17-fold production increase within 7 years, a timeline that assumes no major supply chain disruptions, workforce availability, or regulatory delays. History suggests skepticism. Major defense production ramps routinely run late and over budget. If Raytheon stumbles, the contract structure will determine whether the Pentagon shares the pain through price adjustments or Raytheon absorbs the losses. Investors should monitor quarterly delivery milestones and capital expenditure closely. The first 18 months will reveal whether this contract is a margin-enhancing growth story or a cautionary tale in industrial overreach. The bottom line: the U.S. military just bet $22.9 billion that Raytheon can rebuild Tomahawk production capacity in 7 years, a timeline that demands flawless execution and significant capital investment from the contractor. For institutional investors, the signal matters more than the single contract. The Pentagon has committed to funding defense industrial base recapitalization at a scale that will reshape manufacturing sector returns for the next decade. The playbook is clear: identify suppliers in critical munitions supply chains, prioritize companies with domestic production footprints, and price governance and execution risk into defense prime valuations. The next 5 years will separate the manufacturers who can scale from those who cannot. Capital will flow accordingly.